I'm just one of the guys, so I don't really have that many girlfriends.
The pick me girl has become the internet's favorite insult for any woman who tries to get male attention by framing herself as better than the other girls. One of her core mantras is that she's not like other girls, and the pick me label is often used interchangeably with the concept of the not like other girls girl, who advertises her laid-back vibes and stereotypically male interests, i.e. the cool girl 2.0.
They say the same stuff like, oh, I'm not like the other girl, I'm just quirky. But then their opinion will just kind of change based on the guy they're talking to.
But actually, many pick me's can manifest as an almost opposite persona, like the traditional good girl wifey who judges single women and prides herself on building a comfortable home for her man. She can even be an explicit anti-feminist who fully disavows women's rights. Across all these types, what really defines the pick me is that she has no time or respect for other women.
Emily, shut up. Jason, I was wondering what you were gonna get. I'll get the exact same thing as you since, you know, we're so alike.
Making the situation worse, even though the pick me term originated to call out sexism, it's too often now used to be sexist and criticize any woman you don't like or approve of as a pick me. While it can be sad to see all this girl-on-girl hate, it's also heartening to realize that, most of the time, pick-me behavior is a phase more than a fixed personality. If we look closer at many characters on screen who have either been pick-me's or acted like them in moments,
who knew you harbor chicks could throw down?
Yeah, well, I'm not like the other girls.
We can recognize that many of us, too, have probably at times engaged in embarrassingly inauthentic behavior because we wanted to be liked.
I think it's over. I should never have farted.
You farted! You're human!
I don't want him to know that.
Here's our take on why we can have a little more sympathy for the pick me, because she reflects our own insecurities back to us. If you're new here, be sure to subscribe and click the bell to be notified about all of our new videos.
Pick me! Pick me! Pick me!
The essence of the pick me girl is that she's trying to prove herself superior to other women. Urban Dictionary originally defined this type as a girl who goes out of their way to impress boys and make them seem that they're not like other girls. She usually does this to be accepted by boys and be considered one of the good ones. The phrase pick me stems from AAVE, African American Vernacular English, and Black Twitter. Know Your Meme credits a 2016 Twitter trend, hashtagged Tweet Like a Pick Me, as its rise to fame before mocking TikToks made it a household trope.
What's your biggest injury, like breaking a nail? I play 17 sports.
But while pick me's are often punchlines, many of their qualities can be detected in an unironic light in today's aspirational fictional characters and celebrities.
I didn't have famous people on my wall. I was obsessed with animals. I still am. Like, I'm a nerd.
I have a basketball obsession. It's really embarrassing.
As Amy Rosenbluth writes, the pick me can take the form of a few different archetypes. There are wifeys who disparage single women and lean into sexist stereotypes in order to emphasize their marriageability. N-logs, not like other girls, who denigrate stereotypically feminine behaviors and interests. And anti-feminists, who look down upon feminists and call into question gender equality. In some ways, the confusion over whether the quintessential pick-me is a male interest-oriented one of the guys or the ultimate girly girl stems from the history of the term in AAVE. Originally, pick-me was often connected to Black church culture, including an emphasis on dressing properly, being a good or godly woman, and prioritizing home life. But after the term was co-opted by white culture, it lost a lot of that context and became more loosely conflated with all the not like other girls discussion. Still, even if a hyper-feminine wifey or a hyper-conservative pick-me presents specifically as nothing like an N-log, the point is that they're all hating on other women. They're using the catchphrase, women are so drama, and hoping that they can be viewed as the exception.
What if instead of being a victim, when a man tries to rape and or murder you, you shoot him in the head with a Colt Magnum 1911?
So let's take a more in-depth look at the common variations of pick-me's and illuminating examples of them in film and TV. The wifey shows off an image of herself as a domestic goddess. She might speak about being virtuous or religious, and she looks down or even slut-shames women who, in her view, can't land a man because they're too promiscuous or dress too suggestively. A quintessential example is Amara LaNegra's 2018 post of herself cleaning a shower in a tight dress with the words, "A man's house is a reflection of the woman he's with. Being pretty is just a bonus with me." Aisha Curry became known for similar comments criticizing women for barely wearing clothes, saying she keeps the good stuff covered for the one who matters. Feminist podcast host and writer Jamila Lemieux has compared this kind of pick-me rhetoric to a kind of dick measuring contest for women who try to outdo each other in how subservient they can be in fulfilling all of a male's needs at the expense of their own. Often, film or TV stories about a wifey-esque character follow her learning to loosen up and not torture herself with overly rigid or traditional ideas of happiness and feminine expectations.
Charlotte treated marriage like a sorority she was desperately hoping to pledge.
Charlotte from Sex and the City has tons of rules about how she's supposed to act to get her dream man.
Most men are threatened by successful women. If you want to get these guys, you have to keep your mouth shut and play by the rules.
But even when the show aired at the turn of the millennium, she was viewed by the other characters as a little regressive. Her story is about gradually realizing that striving for a certain form of male validation is unsatisfying. After she is picked by her perfect guy, Trey, their romance is anything but perfect.
Trey and I look like the perfect couple from the outside, but on the inside, it's all fake.
Charlotte eventually finds happiness by throwing out the rules and following her desires with Harry, a guy who doesn't at all fit her original criteria for the ideal partner. Tiffany on Insecure offers an empathetic and nuanced portrayal of a wifey-style behavior today.
Derek doesn't know this, but I got him a box of high-end Cuban cigars. They're rolled by this entire family, even the children. I know it sounds sketchy, but what can I say? I love my man.
While at first she may seem a little smug in her romantic happiness, her relationship with Derek is genuine and close, so her choice to invest a lot of her identity into that feels understandable and valid. At the same time, we eventually see Tiffany struggling with the pressure she puts on herself to present as such a together, perfect wife and new mother. This can get in the way of the open communication that's necessary for anyone in such stressful periods of life.
They tell you childbirth is this beautiful thing. It's not. It's ugly and it hurts.
Most importantly, what makes Tiffany get through those tough times isn't tearing down other girls, but feeling supported by her girlfriends, especially her best friend Kelly, who's often single, always outspoken, and not much like Tiffany in any of these wifey ways. We saw this in Charlotte, too.
Maybe we could be each other's soulmates. And then we could let men be just these great, nice guys to have fun with.
One of the wifey pick-me's central problems is that she's too fixated on old-fashioned gender roles. 2013's Don John critiques this well through Scarlett Johansson's Barbara. Whereas the movie's protagonist John is a performative player who thinks he proves his manhood by racking up one-night stands, Barbara is his female equivalent in their subculture, who's been brainwashed by too many rom-coms and mastered her society's lessons of how to catch a man. Like a pick-me, Barbara is a bombshell who presents herself as a hotter version of all the other girls John meets. She withholds sex, framing it as a reward for commitment, and she puts a lot of stock in status signifiers, which is why she insists John go back to school as a condition of dating her and gets very angry when he cleans his own house instead of hiring a cleaner.
You shouldn't be doing your own housework anyway.
Why not?
Because you're a grown man. I mean, you shouldn't be cleaning your own floors.
While she may act like she's better than the other girls, in the end, she's not really different. Just like John, she's internalized rigid gender role assumptions that all women are after fairy tale princess romance, while all men are after meaningless sex. And ultimately, this leads to unsatisfying, one-sided interactions for both the men and women in the scenario.
When a real man loves a woman, he doesn't mind doing things for her. Right? He'll do anything for her.
Don't you think that sounds a little bit one-sided?
John's life doesn't really change until a more untraditional woman, Julianne Moore's Esther, helps him understand that relationships don't have to be so dehumanizing and transactional. Sex Lives of College Girls gives us another twist on this type through Leighton, a status and image-obsessed rich girl who at first comes across like a Charlotte or a Blair Waldorf. Leighton isn't seeking the perfect guy because she's attracted to women, but she struggles with coming out because she's so aware of how much male validation still counts for her in her society.
I don't feel the need to announce to the world what type of people that I sleep with and let that detail define me.
The second subtype of the pick-me, the N-log, prides herself on her quirky interests, many of which seem designed to appeal to guys.
I downloaded Fortnite on my phone this weekend, and I got one of those, what you call them, wins, the Royales, the Victory Royales.
Guess what shoes I'm wearing? I'm wearing Converse. I didn't want to dress up. That's so stupid.
Obviously, lots of women do like stereotypically male activities, but the N-log is a pick-me because her interests and chill persona aren't authentic. Serena Vanderwoodson acts like a chill, not like the other rich girl's girl. Yet in more honest moments, she reveals that she's actually hungry for status, that she secretly believes she's better than everyone else.
It's not my fault you're so insecure.
And I'm sure it's not your fault you're so conceited.
I'm just tired of trying to hold myself back so I don't outshine you.
And that she'll go to some sketchy lengths to get her guy.
Your camera's on.
No, it's not.
Whoa, I think it was recording us, actually.
Oh, gosh.
You manipulated me into thinking that it was over so I would cheat on her.
Are you gonna post this video on Gossip Girl?
The new Gossip Girl's update to Serena, Zoya Lott, again tries to present herself as not like her peers.
I'm not like everyone else here. I can't just do what I want.
But when she's trying to garner the interest of Obi, her sister's ex-boyfriend, her sense of being above it all gives way to manipulative tactics like putting down her own sister. The I'm not like other girls meme harks back to early 2010 social media, thus overlapping more with the cool girl critique, which exploded with Gone Girl's publication in 2012 and its film adaptation in 2014.
Cool girl is hot. Cool girl is gay. Cool girl is fun. She likes what he likes.
Before Gillian Flynn's critique called the cool girl myth out, this male fantasy had long been sold as a real beer and sports loving, effortlessly hot person that viewers could actually hope to date.
When a guy can play 36 holes and still have enough energy to take me and Warren to a ball game and eat hot dogs. I'm talking sausage hot dogs, beer, not light beer, but beer.
And that women felt they had to emulate.
We never really existed. Nick loved a girl I was pretending to be. Cool girl.
But today's new generation of the N-Log comes after this critique in a climate where we're all a lot more savvy to the whole cool girl game. So saying you're not like the others is more likely to be challenged. And the N-Log is less likely to get away with obviously fake behavior.
I don't wear makeup because it's like fake and I don't like being fake.
Literally see your mascara.
What do you mean? I don't even know what that is.
In spite of this, a number of today's stories are still basically holding up new incarnations of the naturally cool, not too feminine N-Log as an ideal for young women to emulate.
Are most girls more interested in the pretty maidens from the songs? John Q, flowers in her hair?
Most girls are idiots.
So it can be more refreshing when narratives subvert the not like other girls cliche and show women who've resisted female friends getting a lot of joy out of those bonds. The third type of pick me is the most dystopian extreme of seeking male validation, the hyper-conservative anti-feminist, who may even become an ally for men's rights activists or explicitly fight against popular feminist goals.
I don't know, all my best friends are guys. I don't understand, girls.
I'd rather lose my right to vote than lose my right to bear arms.
Perhaps the most illuminating fictional example that corresponds to this type on screen is The Handmaid's Tale's Serena Joy.
Embrace your biological destiny!
She uses her considerable writing and speaking talents to help radically regressive men overthrow the government and turn women into literal sex slaves. She believes this regime values her personally, and she'll get to be the exception who's still on top. But of course, a status quo where women are legally forbidden from reading makes it pretty much impossible for her to wield actual power.
Society in which women can no longer read your book, or anything else.
In Serena Joy's story, we can see how the most extreme form of pick me has a dangerous mix of internalized misogyny and individualist exceptionalism. Her willingness to throw every other woman under the bus so long as she's deemed worthy is not only morally disturbing, but also deeply misguided and self-destructive. Confusingly now, there's also a fourth type of pick me, who is the woman calling other women pick me's. The pick me label is now aggressively and falsely thrown around to police and hate on women for any reason. So to quote Rosenbluth, the people calling out the pick me girl have somehow transformed themselves into the very thing they profess to hate. The woman decrying the pick me is positioning herself as the real and unfiltered girl, pitted against supposedly fake and vapid pick me's. Paving the way for pick me's, countless narratives of the past two or three decades have primed women to identify with the broad archetype of the special girl.
Would I get my ass kicked if I ask you to dance?
Maybe.
You know, Buffy, you're not like other girls.
In addition to the cool girl and not like other girls discussions, the 2000s and 2010s also saw the rise of the manic pixie dream girl and the mockery of the basic girl. The YN, or Your Name, phenomena of fan fiction introduced an entire generation of young girls to inserting themselves into unbelievable wish fulfillment situations.
All right, YN, what's crazy about you?
Well, they just hate me because I'm different.
Different how? Don't you get it? No one notices me. I don't wear makeup.
Stories glorified the special loner girl with few female friends because she was so different from other girls, and normalized the idea that it was okay to put down other girls as a kind of preemptive self-defense.
Then of course there's my dreaded peers at school who all despise how unlike the other girls I am.
Oh, hi, Ryan. How's it going?
Oh, like your sweater.
They all hated me.
And intentionally or not, countless TV shows and teen dramas, past and present, have perpetuated pick-me culture by creating the feeling that winning the heart of the dreamy guy everyone wants proves the female heroine's inherent specialness. Bella in Twilight seems like a total everywoman, except that there's something about her that's just irresistible to the story's surreally gorgeous guy no one else can reach.
Your scent, it's like a drug to me.
The same is true of Bella's fanfic descendant Anastasia in 50 Shades of Grey.
You're here because I'm incapable of leaving you alone.
And Tessa in Harry Styles' fanfiction-inspired After.
Whatever our souls are made of, his and mine are the same.
Or look at Elle in The Kissing Booth, an N-log tomboy with a male best friend who is the only person capable of getting bad boy Noah to open up. And sweet Lara Jean in To All the Boys, who's not a popular girl type, but is the only one who can capture cool guy Peter's heart. Even if these stories are just trying to give us a relatable female character, we see so many narratives where the special guy picking the girl implicitly validates her worthiness. Thus, it's no wonder that female viewers internalize the idea that winning the desirable guy is the ultimate proof of superiority, and try to reverse engineer this outcome by striving to seem different from other girls. In films and shows for all ages, numerous iconic speeches by a female heroine feature her explicitly telling the guy to pick her.
So pick me. Choose me. Love me.
Three words. Eight letters. Say it. And I'm yours.
Tell me I'm the one.
And in many of these shows, her passionate pick me monologue is eventually answered with her dream guy indeed choosing her and designating her the one, even if she has to put in a lot of perseverance and time first. In Gossip Girl, Blair Waldorf finally succeeds at getting the ungettable billionaire bad boy Chug to confirm that all the other girls are nothing and she's the best.
I love you too.
In Sex and the City, the usually independent and secure Carrie tended to become a pick-me girl around her major crush, Mr. Big.
You should see me around him. I'm not like me. I'm like together, Carrie.
And many viewers saw this as evidence she shouldn't end up with him. So they felt the show's original ending betrayed its spirit when its happy ending was him, at long last, picking her.
Carrie, you're the one.
At the heart of the pick-me is insecurity. Urban Dictionary even calls the pick-me kind of like a simp but for girls, implying that this figure is so desperate to gain the approval of the opposite sex that they lose all self-respect and sense of who they really are. But the truth is, being a pick-me isn't usually a permanent identity. It's a phase that many young people go through.
I know that having a boyfriend may seem like the most important thing in the world right now, but you don't have to dumb yourself down to get guys to like you.
Countless beloved stories follow a young person acting in a way that's not really her to try to get the attention of a guy. Eighth Grade follows a middle schooler testing out what she should say to gain a social media following and what kind of sexual act she should offer to attract a cool guy.
I was trying to open up Instagram and then I ended up pulling up my dirty photos folder.
Lady Bird's titular character also starts acting like someone else to win over a cool guy.
What she did was very baller. He's very anarchist.
Yeah, f*** him.
Before she realizes that he's not worth any of that effort, and her friendship with her female best friend is more important to her. Mean Girls Katie initially messes up her romance with Aaron by performing what she thinks he wants instead of just being herself.
I pretended to be bad at math so that you'd help me.
And in classic pick-me behavior, dissing his girlfriend.
Man, look, I can't do this. It's not fair to Regina.
Why do you like her?
But even though Katie's acting horrendously, she can still turn it around and manifest instead as the caring, brave, authentic person she has the potential to be underneath. Most, if not all of us have, at some point or another, been guilty of not being ourselves to court acceptance or validation. BuzzFeed writer Victoria Vaulamanos dedicated an article to anecdotes of women confessing the often pretty silly ways they once declared themselves not like the others. Legally Blonde's whole setup is about two women vying to be picked by a guy who's not good enough for either of them. And the film's ultimate takeaway is that instead of chasing his approval and his ring,
I'm never gonna be good enough for you, am I?
They should choose themselves and let a romantic partner catch up to them if he can prove worthy. The Bridget Jones Diary series is similarly all about how a single woman's desperation to be chosen by a man is misguided. In the end, realizing that she's wonderful just as she is the key to both her romantic and personal fulfillment.
You like me just the way I am.
Narratives like these remind us that the pick-me anxiety often stems from needing to work through self-doubt and get free from expectations we passively absorb from our society. When Julia Roberts' Julianne in My Best Friend's Wedding goes into a frenzy to steal her best friend from his fiancé,
choose me. Marry me. Let me make you happy.
This dreamy romantic moment turns into a nightmare when his fiancé Kimberly sees them, and he runs after Kimberly, the woman he truly loves. And Julianne has to face that her behavior is really driven by fear about what her best friend and romantic backup's wedding reflects about where she is or isn't in her life. Understanding the pick-me as a mirror of who any of us can be in our least confident moments can pave the way for a more productive, empathetic conversation on internalized misogyny. The best antidote to pick-me culture is to underline the importance of female friendship.
So I was thinking that maybe we could be each other's moms.
Thanks, Mom.
You're welcome, Mom.
More and more stories today underline that sometimes your soulmate is your best friend, and a woman's sexual activity should really have no bearing on how we judge her character.
It's not your fault. Dalton is clearly the problem here. He's older, and he was your coach.
While it's easy to feel like we have to tear each other down to stand out, what really makes life fun and gets us through our trials is picking each other and standing together.
You are a really good person. So are you.
This is The Take on your favorite movie, shows, and culture.
Subscribe so you can watch all of our videos.